Praise God. I want to continue where I left off last Wednesday, and I talked about boldness. Talk about being bold. We need to be bold in this day and hour in which we live. And I want to quote tell you the meaning of bold, to be bold or bold. It's to be confident. It's to be careless, not in the carelessness of just being careless, but not to the point where we miss out on what God has for us. Trust or make to hope. Bold also means daring. It means courageous. It means brave. It means intrepid, which is bold or fearless, even as it means fearless. And so God wants us to be fearless and daring and bold and courageous in this world. And the church has got to get that way. The body of Christ has got to get that way. We have got to be a shining light, not one set upon a hill or under a bushel. Or we are one set up on a hill, but not have a bushel basket over us where the light can't be seen. So we got to be bold in our believing in what we say and speaking, because we found out Wednesday night that boldness talked about in their speech. Most time when they were speaking, because our boldness can be seen and heard, right? And so I know I was went to Bush's Chicken today, and I drove up, and this young lady, she looked like a teenager. She probably was. And she come out, and she took my order, and she came back, and when she started leaving, she started walking off. She looked back at me and said, "God bless you, sir." And then she walked in. I said, she's just using a little boldness to tell me, "God bless you." I said, "Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that." And so, I mean, just little things like that. I mean, sometimes it just takes you to be bold enough to say, "Hey, God bless you. Have a wonderful day in God. Jesus loves you. He cares about your life," and such as that. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many people don't mind you saying that at all. In fact, it encourages them when you do. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Psalms 138:3 says, "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." And so I want to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to start there. I think that's the scripture I ended with last Wednesday. And I want to start with verse 5, Hebrews 13:5. He says this, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" He's letting us know you don't need to be fearful of man. Don't be, you know, we got to get to the place where we're not fearful of what people thinks about us or what we say when we're speaking the truth in love. And so we've got to be bold in that aspect. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, the last chapter, verse 49. It says this, Jesus talking, he said, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father, upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Did you know the word power also means a force or strength in your life? That God wants you to be endued with power, with a force. It also means a force in your life. The Holy Ghost is a force in our lives, and He's a force to be reckoned with. When it says to be endued with power, it means to be clothed. It means like slipping into a garment or having a garment slip over on you. I'm telling you, God wants you to have power in your life, and people that are powerful are not embarrassed or timid. That's one thing the Bible tells us in, Second Timothy 1:7, where it says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Well, that word fear there also means intimidation. It said God didn't give us a spirit of intimidation for us to be intimidated. I think the church is going to have to rise to a new level in this last day, because there's too many people that don't know God. And if they miss out on this, they're going to hell. And the church has got to be bold about it. And we can't be to the place where I don't know what they'll think about me. You know, I found this out, being bold about what you believe. Let's go to Acts real quick. I'm going to get ahead of myself if I don't watch it. Acts chapter 1. Linda brought this scripture out in prayer today and tonight. Jesus told the disciples this, he said, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what he was telling them, to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from the Holy Spirit, the promise that was sent by God. How many knows the Holy Spirit? So many people don't understand the workings of the Holy Spirit, because they think when you get saved, you got all the Holy Ghost he's got to give. That's not true. I mean, when you get saved, surely you got to have the Holy Spirit, but the Bible talks about a boldness. It talks about the Spirit coming upon you. The Holy Spirit came in you. He'll be with you in forever. But there is a boldness. There's a power that comes upon you when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Did you realize when the Bible talks about baptism, the three baptisms that I can see in the Bible are being baptized into Christ. That's when you're born again. Being baptized into water is as we're supposed to, which represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't make it a suggestion. He actually made it a commandment. Didn't he say, wait until you get some power? He said, you go to Jerusalem, you wait till you're endued with power from a higher, clothed with power. And so many of the church people of this world, they don't understand the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we at Word of Life, we believe in the baptism. And everybody I'm associated it with believes in the Holy Ghost. And if you watch BVOVN too much, everybody on there are Spirit-filled preachers and ministers. Every one of them. Why? Because Jesus told us to get it. You said, well, it's just for a few. No, no, no. It's not just for a few. It's for us all. Amen. Jude, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20, which there's only one chapter there, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism in the Holy Spirit that comes with a language, that comes with a heavenly language. And look at Acts chapter 2. Run over there. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know what they would, can I tell you what they were doing? They were obeying Jesus. Am I right? They were obeying Jesus. They were doing what he told them to do in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. That's what they were doing. They were obeying him. So they went, and you got to understand, the disciple, they didn't know any more about what was going to happen in that room as anybody else. All they knew is the Holy Ghost was going to come and we was going to receive power, but they didn't understand what was going on. I don't know why when people get around the Holy Spirit and things happening in the Holy Ghost, they get nervous. But I did. Some of you might have. Get nervous. I mean, it's amazing. All the things I went through and got nervous in church. Notice what it says. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly, everybody shout suddenly. That sounds like pretty quick. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of them were filled? How many were in the room? 120. How many were invited? How many did he show himself to? 520. 120 showed up. They showed up for that meeting, and every single one of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People run from that like they're running from a wildcat. I'm telling you the truth. They get so shook up over that. They get so nervous when you start talking about they speaking tongues. Are you a tongue talker? And then I almost think you got the plague or leprosy. Anybody ever met people like that? Oh my God, something's wrong with y'all. Let me tell you, can I say this without being too rude and crude? It's nothing wrong with us, there's something wrong with them. Because Jesus was one who commanded us to receive and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are we just listening to him? Just obeying God. And so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I need to just take a service and just talk about the benefits and the power of praying in tongues. And the benefit to you. And I'm going to do that. I just know God. And Linda talked about some of the benefits the other day that she read about, and that I haven't even. No, it wasn't tonight. It was last Wednesday. And about the benefits in your mind and stuff that speaking in tongues. And I had never heard that before. So I thought, I'm going to have to preach on this. And so they were all being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter and all of them that was in there, the mother of Mary, all the mother of Jesus, all of them was in there in this the room when the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost fell upon each other of them, and they were all filled. But something happened. Not only were they filled and speaking with their tongues, something else came on them. You know what else? Boldness. Did you know up to that point, those individuals was kind of in hiding? They were searching for the disciples, looking for them, and looking for people that served Jesus. So they were kind of in hiding. They weren't real boisterous and bold about what their witness for Jesus Christ until that day. When they got filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's going to cause a boldness in your life. And all of a sudden, let me read a little bit more. In verse 5, it says, for there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And that it names all the people and all the different dialects that was there. And but listen to me, it says they heard them speak in their dialect. Now, how many knows that 120 people didn't know their dialect, but yet they were speaking where they understood them in their dialect? You know, it's amazing how God can make somebody hear something, and in their language, they didn't know they were speaking their language, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when we pray in tongues, we're not praying unto man, but unto God, for man don't understand us. But if God is in it and He's involved in it, they can understand it, because they said they're speaking the wonderful things of God, the wonderful works of God. They're literally telling us about how good God is in tongues, in another language. I've tried to learn, I've just learned to try to learn a secular language. Anybody know another language besides Heavenese? I know Heavenese and I know English. But me and my wife, we decided one time we're going to learn Spanish. You know, we were going into Mexico and went several times to Mexico, went to Honduras, went to Guatemala, went to different places where that's the language kind of they under. So we went and got Spanish for Dummies. You know them books? And I told Linda, I said, we must be dummies because we cannot figure this out. I could not make heads or tails of it. And I never did learn it. Never did learn. I wish I had. I wish I could. And I guess I could if I just put my mind to it. I didn't do it that well. I know Jeff Spring. Y'all know who he is, Jeff Spring. Some of y'all might not have ever heard Jeff Spring. But anyway, he comes here and he went to Guatemala and spent how many weeks in Guatemala? 6 weeks and to learn Spanish. And he for 8 hours a day, he was in class. And he would tell Noreen, well, she is Hispanic, and she speaks, he said, here's why. He said, because when she gets mad at me, I want to find out what she's saying. It'd be good to know, wouldn't it, if somebody's talking to you and talking about you in Spanish. It'd be nice for you, some of you ladies, going in the nail shop to learn some of their language, find out what they're saying about you. Oh, nasty nails. That's probably what they're saying, and they're talking about you. But the thing about it is, we need to understand there was a language that went with the baptism in the Holy Ghost that day in the upper room. There was a language that came along with it. And there's something about praying in another tongue, praying in the Holy Ghost. And, I saw it for a while and finally received the baptism for many years now. In verse 12, it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. Now listen to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that it is he both, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured this which you now see and hear. Let me tell you something what's so unique about this story. Peter raised up and began to preach. And I don't know if you could hear that, but that's pretty bold. Now, he was the very one that was in the courtyard when Jesus was carried up to the courtyard. He was the very one telling them he didn't know him. He was the very one who was denying him. The very one that wouldn't boldly say, yes, I am one of his disciples. He was very shy and he pulled back from it until he finally went out and wept. And all of a sudden, what happened on that day and the... in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, it changed his whole demeanor. And now he's looking at them. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't care what they said back. He said, listen to me. I'm going to tell you about this Jesus in whom you crucified. I'm going to tell you the church has got to rise up and they got to be so bold and so confident and so assured of who they believe in and what the Word of God says. That's why we got to get into the Word. That's why we got to know what it says. We've got to be so confident and so courageous, because confident also means boldness. And so confident in what we believe that we're not ashamed to say it. Listen, we got to be at least as bold and courageous as a vacuum cleaner salesman. Anybody ever had one come to your house? They're irritable. I mean, they irritate you. Right? But they'll walk in there like that's the best product on the market. You got to have one. What's a Kirby? Was it the last one that came to your house was a Kirby salesman? Oh, my God. You know, I'm telling you, we don't want to trick people into letting us talk to them. But he tricked us into it. We got tricked. And I'll never get tricked by Kirby operator, cleaner, vacuum cleaner person again. We didn't buy one. But this kid used to go to our church, went to the Marines, came back, and he said, man, I was in the neighborhood and just wanted to come see y'all. I said, well, how are you doing, buddy? It's good to see you. Man, where have you been? He said, but while I'm here, I'm selling this vacuum cleaner, and you know, if you just let me demonstrate it to you, I'll get paid. Just let me. I said, well, let me tell you right now, and I called him by name. I said, we are not buying that vacuum cleaner. I got a vacuum cleaner. I'm not buying it. Did I tell him that? How many times did I tell him that?
Over and over.
And so he's sitting there and he brings that vacuum cleaner in. And I know he ain't ever used it other than demonstrate it. But he was bold to promote it. And he'll sit there and he said, here's, yeah, how many have had them demonstrations? And they walk in there and he's sitting there and he's sitting there looking at me. And this was at night. This is around 9, 10 o'clock at night. And so he's sitting there with that vacuum cleaner going like this, and he kept going like that and kept going like that. We have a Dyson. So he wants to compare that with our Dyson. And so he's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm sitting there thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And he said, how many times have I done that? I said, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to count? Because I'm about to sleep over here. Anyway, I said, I done told you I'm not buying it. He said, and so he went outside and brought another guy in, the one over him. I said, I done told you I'm not buying this thing. So when he finally got through, I said, now how much do you owe me? He said, what do you mean? I said, you just spent my night. And so you owe me for letting me let you show that to me.
He did. He did.
I sure did. He didn't like it, but that's all right. And I was nice about it. This is 11 o'clock at night. Anyone wants a Kirby vacuum cleaner for a guy sitting in your house at 11 o'clock at night? I think they try to wear you down to make you buy it. Anyway, but that's bold. That's confident. And he didn't care what I thought. He was there to show me something. He was there to demonstrate something to me. I tell you, God wants to do some demonstration. In fact, Ronnie and Sharon went with us the other day, and we went to Cargill. We went to a mineral deal for cattle, and we went and they offered us a steak. They did get us a steak and did all that, and a wonderful steak, although we had to cook it ourselves. Here's what they told us. They said, one thing about these steaks, you cannot complain about how they're cooked because you're cooking them yourself. So we got these big old pit out there, so we cooked these steaks. We went there and said, and this is the second one I went to. But this guy, and Ronnie and Sharon can bear witness, this guy is so convinced that those minerals are the best thing in the world for your cows, he gets to the point that he calls you stupid if you don't use it. Am I right? I mean, to that point. He just said, it's the best thing in the world. So, you know, here's the deal. The next day, I'm at the feed store. And another guy drives up at the feed store too. I said, you come here to get some mineral? He said, he sure did. He embarrassed me. He ashamed me that I didn't buy that for my cows. I mean, he convinced me so much that my cows needed that I'm here to buy it. Huh? And I liked the guy's presentation. I loved listening to him because he was funny, hilarious, and stuff like that. So here's the deal. I go, Frank, and I bought that mineral. It's like $30 a bag. Now, I have bought that mineral before, and my cows will not eat it. And I have put it out, I don't know how many times, and they will not eat it. I have dumped it out. They will not eat that. And I keep saying, and here's what I thought. I said, man, he shamed me so much, made me feel so bad, I'm going to buy another bag and try it again. You know where the mineral's at? In that trough. But I bought it. Why? Because he convinced me that was what those cattle needed. And they needed it to be healthy and to reproduce the way they ought to be doing and breed back the way they're supposed to do it. And he convinced us of all that and be people was buying that minerals and such as that. Listen to me. We've got to be that bold with how we believe in Jesus Christ that we convince them that they need Jesus. They need the Word of God. They need God. They need to have the presence of God. But we use it not in calling them stupid. We use it and speak the truth in love and let them know, listen to me, Jesus loves you. He cares about your life. He wants to save you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to make your life better. God betters your life. And listen to me, if we're not convinced ourselves, we can't convince nobody else. How can we convince somebody if we're not even convinced ourselves that the best life that we have is the life that we live in Jesus? Huh? It's my best life. My life wasn't that good before, I'll tell you what, but afterwards it got great. Am I right? And I tell you what, I want people to know that, don't you? So David began to preach. Peter began to preach with boldness. With boldness. And he stood up, and that day, if you'll read the rest of that chapter, that day, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus because he stood up with such boldness and confidence in who Jesus was. Amen. He said, you're going to be witnesses. To be a witness is not just to say something, but to be something. And I'm telling you, we're witnesses where we're at or wherever we go. Peter was filled with boldness. In Hebrews, I was going to read that whole chapter, but I'm not. In Hebrews, I'm not planning on keeping you real long. Hebrews 10. I think it's verse 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. That word confidence there means outspokenness. Outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, assurance, boldness of speech. Do not cast away your boldness of speech, your assurance, your confidence, because it has great reward for you. Look in Acts 28. Acts 28. Verse 30. It says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. With all confidence, with all boldness of speech, he taught them the word of God. Many souls. There were cities turned right side up because of what Paul preached and his boldness to go to them. Paul went everywhere in that known world preaching the gospel. You know, Joshua 1 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Way back over here in the Old Testament. In verse 5 it says this. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. He's telling Joshua, be bold. Be bold, Joshua. Be bold. You're about to lead this people into the promised land. Be bold. Be bold with them. Listen, there's some people that need to come out of the wilderness into the promised land. And guess what? We could be the leader to bring them in. All of us should be leaders. Glory to God. Listen to me. God's got, we follow some, but I tell you what, we also lead others. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm telling you, if he's with Joshua, he was with you. Why? Because he was with Joshua, he's in us. Right? So we can't leave him. And he can't leave us nor forsake us because he lives and abides on the inside of us. Have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden a boldness starts rising in you? Sometimes boldness rises up in us and we say, man, I tell you what, I said this, but I should have said this with it. Have you ever got the wisdom of God after you left? You said, my God, I should have told him this. God, you should have showed me that to start with. I'm telling you, God wants us to be a mouthpiece for His kingdom on this earth. Proverbs 3:26 says this, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. For the Lord will be your confidence. He'll be your boldness. He'll be your strength. He'll be your power. He'll be your force. God wants to use us to minister. And listen to me, we're to pray for boldness. We're to pray for boldness. We're to start doing that when the mornings when we get up, we're to say, God, give me boldness. Say it with me, God, give me boldness. Give me boldness to open my mouth boldly and courageously, to speak forth and to speak up. Amen? There's so many people that the truth is hidden from them. And we have the truth to be revealed. And I'm telling you, there's so many wacky ideals in the world today, and there's a lot of people that have wacky ideals. And listen to me, but we have to know the truth. We have to know it. We can't proclaim it unless we know it. And we can't proclaim it boldly unless we know it and it's in our heart. If we got a revelation of it, it's no problem with us speaking up and saying, listen, why don't we look at it this way? I have people, preachers, they ask me sometimes, they say, I read it like this. I look at this like this and I see it like this. What do you think about it? How do you say it? Well, they're asking me how I see it. Now, we can see things a little differently and both be right. Did you understand that? I mean, you read the four different gospels and they're all led by the Holy Ghost and what they did. And they're a little different from every perspective just because of the way they put it and the way the Holy Ghost showed them. And Kenneth Hagin used to always say this. He said, you know, you can climb up a mountain on this side and see one view. You can climb up that same mountain on this side and see another view, but it's the same mountain. And the thing about it is, as long as it lines up with the Word, the Holy Ghost is our leader and He's our God. And we need to, first of all, the main thing is we just need to be bold about who we believe in and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it. He said, listen, I've got a gospel that's got the power to save people. And if I hold it to myself, they can't get saved. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 10? He said, how can they hear unless there's a preacher? How can they hear unless somebody preaches? I'm kind of paraphrasing. How can they hear unless somebody tells them? How are they going to be saved unless somebody tells them the truth about it? Amen? Praise God. So we're the truth bearers on the earth. We're the light. Jesus said, you're the light. You're the salt. He said, walk as children of light. And I'm telling you, there's nothing to be ashamed about. And let me just say this in closing. God, sometimes God will lead you into things with people. I mean, here's what I found that God's done in my life before. I just started praying, just fellowship with people and talk to them. Not really talking about the gospel or nothing, but just being a light to them and such as that. And then just pray, God, open the door of opportunity. Because the Bible says no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And so if you pray, God, I want you to open the door of utterance for me. Paul said, pray that the door of utterance may be open for me, that I can speak the word boldly. And so the thing about it is, when we say, God, open the door for me to speak to that individual, whoever it might be, you may be thinking of somebody right now, and just say, open the door for me to do it. Because I'm telling you, God, people will come to you and they'll start saying, tell me about this or tell me about that. And then, bam, the opportunity is just open for you. Amen? The one thing, and I'm going to say this to help every single one of us, the one thing that never helps anybody is just try to force Jesus on them. Amen. You try to force Jesus on him, you'll push him further away. Amen. Linda never tried to force Jesus on me. She just said, she was serving God before I was. She never tried to force him on me or anything like that. But I tell you what, through the process of time, just her light, just her witness began to cause me to get a little hungry for what's going on. I'm telling you something, God has a tender way of bringing people to him. But he has to have people bold enough to proclaim the gospel to them. Amen. And that's us. Amen.